You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and yes, again, I am your host. Whether you like it or not. How's everybody doing out there? Good day, kinsmen, kinswomen. Praise the Father in heaven, for he gave us a beautiful day today. And there's a couple more very nice days on the heels of this day. Well, I wanted to make a correction, first of all, is I talked about, William G. Finley talked about this, and he said that the first instance of original sin was in, I had said Tobit by mistake. It's 2 Esdras, chapter 7, verse 118. And I just wanted to make that correction. We always want to correct things that nobody noticed, but now you know. I'm not afraid to show that I've had to fix something I did. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. It's life. Get used to it. Well, I hope you're enjoying the series. You know, it's interesting when I talk about, see, I love the Gospel of John and I love John. And as we're doing this Paul thing, I mentioned at the end of the Word of the Most High radio show about John 3:16, how it's the most famous scripture in the world, I believe. And you see, I just wanted to explain to you why I've been thinking about that scripture for quite some time. And I don't believe John wrote that. I believe that was put into John's gospel deliberately. And I know you might be saying, oh, gee, here we go, right? But think about this logically. We are the offspring of the Father, right? You know, in yesterday's messages, Jesus breathed when he came back to see them, and he let them see his wounds. He breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, I had never remember reading that before, but it's been there, and it's there. And the Father breathed life into Adam, who's known as the Son of God. So I will tell you what I think the motive of John 3:16 is. I know about the two worlds. I've talked about that before. That there's, you know, remember posita and negato, positive and negative. There's the kingdom of God in this world, and there's the evil world that we have. But I want you to understand something that, you know, I will eventually get to this part, but, you know, I believe it's John that I've read many times say, if a man love the world, he is not of God, and all these different things. You've read it, I'm sure. All of a sudden, John's going to change his mind and say, oh, God loves the world. Sure he does. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. In other words, there's two things that are funny about this verse, and they universalize everything. In other words, whosoever wants to come will receive eternal life and not perish. That's a problem, isn't it? Because how could they receive eternal life if they're not of the sheep, of the lost sheep of the house of Israel? How's that possible? They never had eternal life in the beginning to have it redeemed to them. So this verse, which I don't believe John wrote, I believe they stuck it in there. They stuck in the same terminology in the very first chapter of John. In his gospel. Otherwise, I don't see any universalism in John. John was extremely against that. John was against Paul. And so were the rest of the disciples. You will find that out in the scriptures, in the book of Acts. But what's interesting is, for God so loved the world. God does not love the world. And God did not come to save the world. Period. You know it, and I know it. So, for so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, why would that be said, that he gave his only begotten son? If Adam is begotten of the Father, and Eve is begotten of Adam, etc., etc., and we are his offspring, we are also his sons and daughters. So how could Jesus be the only begotten of the Father? I mean, maybe somebody has an explanation for that. But I'll tell you what the purpose of that really is. To say, to cover up the fact that Adam was the Son of God. And to cover up the racial aspect of the kingdom, that we are his sons and daughters. You know, it is not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs. Wait a minute. The whole world, you love the whole world. How you calling this woman a dog? Isn't she, if she believes in you, she can go have eternal life too, can't she? No. No. It is not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs. So there's something wrong with this verse. You can see that. And this is not in John's, it's just not in his type of thing. It's not his, unless he means something else by it, which I don't know, but I don't think so. See, this is to damage and to cover up the exclusivity of the gospel and who Jesus came to. This turns everything right on its head and said that he loves the world. And the world is everybody, right? The world is the seed of the dragon. The world is, if Satan, because he's whosoever as well, right? So if Satan believes in God, which of course he does, then he has eternal life forever too, right? But yet he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire with the false prophet and all that, right? And hell and death. You see, there's something wrong with the verse. There's nothing wrong with your Bible. It's that these Jews have molested our children. These Jews have molested our women. These Jews have molested our men. These Jews have molested our governments. They've molested Jesus Christ in the sense of they killed him. They've molested everything in the world. And they've molested our scriptures by taking the Father's name out over 6,800 times, number one. Do you think that they didn't finish the job? Do you think it's impossible that, you know, see, when I said this, I've already covered this base. If the Father wanted to keep his word infallible and to the letter of the T, he could have easily done it. This is part of the test, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm telling you that you better start thinking. This does not change my view of the scriptures in any other way except that there's a little bit of molestation gone on here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I thought, all right, that number one, there's something wrong with him loving the world. Number two, there's something wrong that he only has one son. For even the angels were called the sons of God that came down with the daughters of men, right? That whosoever should believe in him, whosoever. That means everybody, anybody, swine, pig, dogs, anybody. Devils, Jews. Sorry, Charlie. That ain't gonna go. That ain't going right. You can see that. Don't let this make you doubt the Bible, because that's not the purpose of why I'm telling you this. I'm trying to teach you to think for yourself, and part of the test is navigating the scriptures, navigating life, navigating people, navigating words, etc., etc. Nobody said it was going to be a cakewalk. But, you know, these things, the world loves this. See, if do the people in the world go up into the football stadiums and write, "He came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel"? No, they don't write. They don't say that. Do they say, you know what I mean? Do they say, "Ye are of your father, the devil," or any of these things? No, they don't love those scriptures, but they love the idea that God loves the world and that he gave his only begotten son is just part of this thing that they put in there. See, it's like something that's put right into John's words, and it's putting words in John's mouth, and it sticks out like a sore thumb, doesn't it? It's like it's not part of John's words, like he didn't write it. He wrote the gospel. I mean, you know, obviously, John, that's the top gospel. There's no doubt about it. I love the gospel of John, and John is known as one of the most anti-Jewistic gospels, which I love that. So funny that they would not change John 8, chapter 8, where we find out that Jesus is not a Jew. We have the proof that Jesus is not a Jew, and we find out that the Jews are not his sheep, and that his father, which is our father, is different from the Jews' father. See, because God didn't create the Jews. See, when it says we're all God's children, that's another big-time lie. We're not all God's children. The Father didn't create Cain. And the Father didn't create the hybrids that people have brought into fruition. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Period. You see, purity does count, ladies and gentlemen. Purity does mean something. That's why sweet Polly Purebred was so wonderful. She was pure. So, you know, an underdog, you could tell, was not. He was too busy taking his pills. Okay, well, I suppose, you know, after this little spot that I spoke about, I'd like to know what you think about that. Do you think that that sounds like that's John's words? If you've read John's material, which I've read many, many, many times, I know John does not love the world, and I know that John says bad things about people that love the world. If you love the world, you're not of God. Now, I didn't take the time to go get that. I could have got it, but, you know, I'll get it for you. Don't worry. I've read it before. I've read it several times. A man that says that if you love the world, you are not of God, does not say God loves the world. It doesn't work that way, folks. So, you know what I mean? It's just, John's, give him a little bit of credit, will you? So, let us go into the subject matter. We're in Fritz Springmeier's book, Be Wise as Serpents. We're on page 139, where we left off last week. And he says, to seek for God is a claimed goal of religion. This seems to be a fine goal if one wants to search for and study a rock, there is no objection on the part of the rock. If one wants to search for and study a man without his consent, he may run into big trouble. If one searches for God, he finds out that unless God reveals himself to the searcher, the finite man cannot find an infinite and holy God. Christ came with the object of showing man how man doesn't need to seek God by himself, that God is willing to reveal himself to mankind. Rather than relying on religion, man can allow God to reconcile himself to mankind. Jesus Christ was not very complimentary to the religious leaders of the day. He called them, "Ye fools and blind, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." Now, it's funny, he doesn't say, he doesn't distinct, I don't see it. Maybe he will, we'll see. But he does not say that the Pharisees are Jews, because Fritz doesn't know that we are the Israelites and the Jews are the Jews, and the Jews are not Israelites, and we are not Jews. He called them the leaders, the religious leaders of the day, like as if they were all of the same ilk. They're all Jews, right? Those Pharisees had picked up the entire Babylonian Gnostic religious system after Jerusalem fell to the Romans. The Jewish religious leaders returned to Babylonia, which became the Jewish religious center until they began moving into Europe in the Middle Ages. The Universal Jewish Encyclopedia states on pages 13 through 17. You see, but this is also on the premise that he believes that the regular people were Jews. That all of these people are Jews. Oh, I must stop right here. I was out working the field with Miss Elke yesterday, ripping up trees and all kinds of things. You know, there's all sorts of little trees that are taking up all kinds of space that are not worth anything, and I wanted to clear the space, and I've been doing this as I can. And I had a wonderful thought. Would you like to hear it? I knew you would. This is nice. I like this very much. Okay, these so-called the world, I'm going to say, believes that, you know this, believes that Noah and his white wife had a white son, a black son, and an Asian son. Correct? And that all people came through that. Then let me ask you this question. Then where did the Jews come from? See, because they believe that everyone in the world was killed by the flood, right? So in other words, all that's left is Noah's offspring now. So the whole world that exists today all came through Noah's loins. So where did the Jews come from? See, I already know the answers here because I already know this story is ridiculous, and I know that the flood didn't kill everybody, and I know that Noah and his white wife couldn't have other colored children. But I'm just pretending. I'm playing along with the world right now, and I'm saying I thought this was so incredible, really. Where did the Jew come from? Where did the Mexican come from? Where did the Paki come from? Where did the Indian people come from? Where did the other Indians, so-called Indians, come from? I'm leaving some air for there for you to contemplate this question. You see, if he had, you know, 12 sons or something, and one was an Indian and one was... This is utterly ridiculous, but you see, I just love the idea that, you know, of this really hits home. I don't know if the father hit me with that or not, but I just began to say, oh my goodness, that's incredible. So next time you're talking to one of these people, maybe you give me credit for this or give the father credit for it. It doesn't really matter. Better the father than me. You can ask them. Because there will be no answer. Because there can't be an answer. Because if they try to tell you, well, the Jews were part of the white people, Noah's a Jew, and no, Noah's not a Jew. Noah's not a Jew at all. So therefore, if they want to turn it that way, then what you say is, then where did the white people come from? Okay, so it works. It's a two-edged sword. It doesn't matter. If they want to believe that Noah's a Jew, which he's not, because Jews are race-mixed people. Jews have race-mixed with all the races. They have to do that. They only give lip service to the idea of keeping a bloodline pure. You can see that the Apostle Paul does not care anything about keeping bloodlines pure. He talks about endless genealogies and foolish genealogies. He's not into keeping bloodlines pure because the Jews don't keep bloodlines pure. They never have, and they never will, and they never can for very long. So they're not interested in it. You see, in Paul's gospel, you don't need to be of a pure bloodline. All you need to be is whatever you are, who it goes right along with John 3:16, whoever you are, it doesn't matter who you are, you become Abraham's spiritual child, or you become a spiritual Israelite, or you'll become ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, absolutely antichrist, absolutely the patterns of the Jews. Only the Jews could think up trying to teach people not to obey the law. You know, when you think about Peter, one thing you can say about Peter, remember I gave those verses about those who love me and keep my commandments? Well, Peter, because he had denied Jesus Christ three times, and Jesus told him he would deny him three times before the cock crowed, he also redeemed Peter by saying, Peter, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. You know the story three times. That was to balance the scales of judgment. You see, again, Peter was somebody who obeyed the law, and Peter loved Yeshua. He who loves me and obeys my... See, Peter is in that category. Paul is not in that category. Paul was circumcised but didn't believe in circumcision. In other words, he was against everything the Father put forth. That was put forth by Moses through the Father, whether you like that or not. The Jews have taken it and perverted it. But Paul did not believe in circumcision. He did not believe in following the law. And this question is quintessential. Who would not want you to obey the law? Would Peter not want you to obey the law? Nope. Of course he would want you to obey the law. Only a Jew would find a way to create a false gospel that would go against the law. See, if you do not love the Father and do not get to know him, and you do not obey the law and obey his commandments, you're in trouble. Who would want you to get in trouble but a Jew? Who would want to tell you not to do things? There's a lot of things when, you know, that are starting to really make sense. I hope that you are finding these things as well, and I hope that you are overjoyed at finding these nuggets of truth. Don't let it hurt you. Don't let it make you doubt it. It shouldn't make you doubt at all. You know the Jews have molested everything. You know the Jews couldn't destroy Christianity, and they got inside of it so that they could destroy it from within, as we've seen in so many cases. You don't think that they wanted to juxtapose what Jesus and the disciples had taught? You don't think that the Pharisees were not going to start their own movement with their own self-appointed apostle, with their own false stories? But remember this too. Not everything you read from Paul is going to be a lie. There has to be truth as well. You see, because just like the Jews in all the truth movement, you know, now, they have to tell some truth. If they didn't tell any truth, nobody would listen to them. So understand these things. So back to the book now. I really think that's incredible, right? So then where did the Jews come from? Or if Noah's a Jew, then where did the white people come from? The Jews aren't white. And they say they're not white. They might look white, but they're not white. So it's either where did the Jews come from or where did the white people come from then? It's slick, isn't it? And it just shows how foolish these notions are. So, he talked about how the Pharisees picked up the entire Babylonian Gnostic religious system after Jerusalem fell to the Romans. So, in the second century AD, Babylonia had become a bulwark of Judaism. The former land of exile had become a land of refuge. The seventh century found the importance of Babylonian Jewry considerably increased. During the preceding 300 years, Palestine had been merely a place of veneration, while Babylonia became the center of Jewish life and learning. Babylonian Jews no longer looked to Palestine for instruction. Even the heads of the schools at Tiberias were Babylonian Jews. Babylonia was the spiritual center of Judaism, and its influence brought many Babylonian customs into general use. And I have to add, in general use in Judea. You see, he still thinks that all of Israel are the Jews. But he's wrong. But that's okay. The early groups called Gnostics in Egypt and in the Middle East were primarily Jews. Remember? Now, let me stop right there. Do you remember when, if you've been listening to Rabbit Hole Radio Show, this one was called Devils Making Hybrids. If you want to go back and listen to that, you will see the testimony of what he's just saying right here, that the Jews were mixing not the Gnostic religions with Christianity. Now listen what he says right here. See, I love how, I didn't plan any of these things, but I love how all these teachings overlap one another. I mean, we've heard about Arius from Fritz Springmeier. We've heard about Arius from Maurice Pinet. We've heard about Arius, the Jew, the one who brought this heresy forth by William G. Findlay. All these things are crisscrossing over each other. Isn't this amazing? I'm telling you, the Father is teaching us. Now listen again. The early groups called Gnostics in Egypt and the Middle East were primarily Jews. From the preceding information, one begins to realize how indebted the world is to the Jews, who served as a vehicle to spread Gnosticism throughout the world. The cause and celebre of this book will be to show how the Jehovah's Witnesses Watchtower Society ties into the New World Order in chapters 1.5 and 1.17. Anyone at all familiar with how the Watchtower Society claims to have nothing to do with any political, religious, or fraternal group, they will realize that if the Watchtower Society is part of the New World Order, then our minds can adjust to accepting about anybody else could be involved too. Unit 2 will tell us who else. So, this is beautiful. So we're back to the Jehovah's Witnesses. And remember that we've gone through the Watchtower and the Masons by Fritz Springmeier. And this book, Be Wise as Serpents, touches on many, many things. And it continues on this Jehovah's Witnesses thing. And, of course, the Mormons, etc., etc. Examining how Jehovah's Witness Gnostic teachings. Examining Jehovah's Witnesses' Gnostic teachings. I told the Jehovah's Witness that his so-called religion was a Gnostic religion. And I told him, you know, how the name Jehovah came about and that it's the name of the devil. So if he goes to his death, he's 78 years old, if he goes to his death, he can't say he hasn't been told. See, it's up to him now in his life to go find the truth about what I told him. But I can't worry about that. He loves his organization. He's true to his organization. This is why I tell you that we should come out of these things. We should have a personal relationship with the Father and stop worshiping men and institutions. Let us examine for a while the Gnostic teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Rutherford, in Preservation 1932, page 153, here's a quote. God has made known to his people the meaning of much that has heretofore been hidden, and may not those things be taken as proof that Armageddon is near. The Jehovah's Witnesses' credentials are based on revealing hidden knowledge. Let us narrow our examination to their book, The Harp of God. Quote, Jehovah had a great plan before the foundation of the world, but no one knew about it. During the first 4,000 years of man's history, God's plan was kept a secret. He began to reveal it to man nearly 1,900 years ago, and then only to those who are consecrated to do his will. Promise was made that greater light should come. Greater light. Promise was made that greater light should come at the end of the age. Let me stop right there for a second, right? You see, I said that to him too. He says, oh, there's coming a time when we believe that we will have, 1,000 years of God's kingdom on earth, right? Now, you know about that, right? I said, you mean the golden age, right? He didn't confirm it. He didn't even wince, but he didn't answer either. In other words, he's probably surprised that I knew it about that. So, promise was made that greater light should come at the end of the age and that this promise has been kept. We are at a time, as clearly proven by the contents herein. So he says, people generally have not been thoroughly instructed in the Bible. Even those who have attended the Sunday schools have merely learned the text and not the meaning of the text. Like the prophets of old, they have heard but not understood. But understood not. The real reason for these conditions is that God's plan could not be understood until due time to reveal it. His due time is here. Preface to the Harp of God, 1921. So these are Rutherford's words. Quote, again, the mystery of God has been a stumbling block to both Jews and Christians, so-called. But in God's due time, he will make known to all the secret of his mercy, and then all rightly exercised by this will rejoice with exceeding joy. From the Harp of God, page 182. Remember, you're hearing from Rutherford from the Watchtower Society. This is not God's word. The mystery is, listen to this, the mystery is the Christ. Ibid, page 182. The Christ is the instrument or channel for the blessing of mankind. The Christ is composed of Jesus, the great and mighty head, and 144,000 members, from page 187. The Christ is composed of Jesus, the great and mighty head, and 144,000 members. Now, it's very interesting that the mystery is the Christ. What do we know about the secret doctrine of Masonry? That everyone is a potential Christ, and we are all on our way to becoming Christ, just like Jesus was on his way to becoming Christ. That is nonsense, ladies and gentlemen, nonsense. And the lost word of Freemasonry is the Christ within. In other words, you have the divine divinity within inside of you, and you have a potential to become divine. In other words, man becoming God. That's what it's all about. This is the promise from the garden. And the way they use this term, the Christ, is the same way Benjamin Krem and Alice Bailey from Lucifer Publishing, you know, Lucius Trust in the UN, this is how they talk. They're waiting for the Christ to return. They're not waiting for Jesus Christ to return. They're waiting for the Christ. So listen to the terminology. The mystery is the Christ, page 182. The Christ is the instrument or channel. Channel? Channeling? That's what he means. The Christ is the instrument or channel for blessing of mankind. The Christ is composed of Jesus, the great head, mighty head, great and mighty head, whoever that is, and 144,000 members. Jehovah has so arranged that only those who have their minds illuminated, are you listening? Can understand and appreciate the mystery of God. These are the ones designated by the prophet Joel as the servants and handmaidens of God, page 190. Very interesting that he would use the term illuminated. You must be smiling right now. You must be saying, we've learned all this, haven't we? What kind of jargon is that? That's very New Age and Freemasonic jargon. The Jesuits, the Alumbrados, the Illuminated, the Illuminati, which I call the Jew-luminati. Analysis. Concerning the revelation of the mystery, Colossians 1:24 through 27 says, "The mystery which has been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." When Paul wrote, "The mystery is now made manifest," it was 19 centuries ago. See, there again, we see the Paul speaking about the mysteries. Because Paul was educated in the things like of Plato and Socrates and all those types of things. And this is very, shall we say, illuminating that Paul wrote about the mystery. See how these things just happen? This is one of several scriptures that say the same thing. Romans 16, 25 and 26 in 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 10 were both written by Paul and both declare that the mystery which had been hid, quote unquote, was revealed to all the nations in Paul's day. The Gnostic Rutherford would have us believe that he is revealing to the world the mystery knowledge for the first time. Poor Fritz doesn't know. However, he says, Jude in his epistle in verse 3 says, contend for the faith which was once delivered once and for all unto the saints. Were Christians to receive a better new message at some future point? Paul warns the Christians that the faith, quote unquote, that was once delivered is the one and only gospel, and that if an angel, spirit being, or man brings another gospel, whether better or worse, which Paul had not preached, then let him be cursed. That's Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're listening. You see, it's Paul's gospel, not Jesus' gospel. And like I said, I do believe that Paul is saying that Jesus and the disciples, their gospel, is a different gospel than Paul's, and anyone preaching a different gospel than Paul's, let them be accursed. You may think that's a bold statement, but you may not think so in time. I do believe that that is exactly what that means. Paul showed his disrespect to the disciples, the apostles, and he only used the Christ on the cross and his resurrection, death and resurrection, as a vehicle for his gospel. So, don't let anyone fool you. The church of the first century knew this mystery. You see, Fritz, you know what I mean? I'll read it anyway. The church of the first century knew this mystery and proclaimed it to the world. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16. Yes, the mystery had been on the mind of God since the beginning of the world and had been only partially revealed in the older part of the Testament and prophets. Read Ephesians 3, 1 and 2. And we find that, number one, the mystery was revealed to him, verse 3. Number two, him being Paul, I believe. Number two, when the Christians read Paul's letter, they could perceive his understanding of the mystery. They understood it then. Number three, we see in verse 5 that the mystery, quote unquote, was revealed to the apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. I don't know where we didn't give a scripture for that. Number four, Paul's mission was to make all men see what was the dispensation of the mystery for the ages which had been hid in God. I hope you're able to read between the lines here, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that I hope and pray you understand what you're hearing. We are told that in God's good time he will pour out his Spirit upon all mankind, so that all can understand his wonderful plan. The Harp of God, page 190. Will the Father pour out the Holy Spirit on all mankind? I don't know. I don't think so. I believe that we that believe he will pour his Spirit unto us, and the lost sheep of the house of Israel he will pour his Spirit to, but I don't know about anything about him pouring out his Spirit upon all mankind. And when we look at mankind, mankind is only the Adamic race. So, yet the Bible verse, this is Rutherford speaking still, yet the Bible verse that this is quoting and the reference to this is on page 190, which is Joel 2, 28 and 29, is applied by Peter in the New Testament. Okay, that's not him. That's Fritz speaking in the newer part of the Testament. To what was happening back in the day of Pentecost. This is that spoken through the prophet Joel, They misunderstand the meaning Joel gives to all flesh. He doesn't mean every person that has ever lived, but rather all kinds of people. Are you listening? Jew, Gentile, Greek, and Egyptian. And they were all there at Pentecost. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that you know better. It is clear from 2 Timothy 2:15 that the day when the mystery was revealed partially by inspired men and women is over. The revelation of God is his will is complete. And now we should study the written revelation. This only makes sense, he says. Rutherford says, those who are thus anointed have the spirit of, he uses the word the Lord, they certainly do, and by virtue of his spirit are able to understand the mystery of God. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers. He does not have to inspire the readers. If so, there was no point in inspiring the writers. It does not require an inspired man to interpret an inspired man. If so, the first inspired man's book is not a revelation, but still a mystery. Remember, this is Rutherford speaking now. If we cannot understand the first inspired man, how can we understand the second inspired man, especially if they are inspired by the same Holy Spirit? Gnostic leaders like the power, now this is back to Fritz speaking, Gnostic leaders like the power that comes from people having to come to them for enlightenment. Even if the Bible is not understood by a man, because he is so carnal that he can't think straight, he doesn't need to go to a man like Rutherford. Read more about Joseph Rutherford in especially chapters 1.12 and 1.14. The reason Christ went away, according to Christ, was so that the Holy Spirit would be sent to teach us all things. A further study of Christ and his relationship to the despised common masses of the people would show that he was advocating the opposite of Gnosticism. His wisdom was not hid under a bushel basket, but set on a hill, so to speak, for all to learn and profit from. Also, Christ ministered and befriended those of every social class, including government officials and, he said, and Gentiles. God wants to reconcile himself to everyone, not just to some inner clique. Really? Then why did he teach in parables, fellow? That just destroys the whole premise that you just said. Jesus Christ also taught the limitations of knowledge, gnosis. Very interesting, isn't it? That, you see, they always look at it as, oh, it's all the world, because he talked to those of every social class. Now, the Jews happened to be everywhere he was practically, so he could not help but speak to the Jews. But when he did want to speak to them and rail them, he certainly did. Since they were there, he might as well give it to them but good, right? Let's take a quick break. And this is a song from my To Begin to Destroy album. And it's called Free. And it's a nice, simple song. And it's got violin, bow, guitar all the way through it.
to me. Sorry to take your time, I have to make this rhyme. Trying to tell the lie, you'll never be free. Never be free. I see you, and you're standing by yourself. Just read it. Won't you take it off the shelf? When you can see the lies, weep on your own demise. It comes as a surprise. Why can't we? Serpent's curse, putting them in reverse. This is God's universe. He made us all free. He made us all free. I'm looking.
Welcome back, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed radio show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. I just wanted to let you know that I've been adding my Paul shows to the study piece on the Apostle Paul down at the bottom, so that everything will be grouped together for your convenience when you're studying these matters. I also would like to say, if you like the shows that I'm doing and you would like to give a donation, it would be wonderful. I would appreciate it. Remember, I need to buy groceries. I need to pay my bills, etc., etc. And I hope you will seriously consider giving me a fine donation. Next month, by the way, biannually, I'm going to mention this a few times, I have to pay, you know, for the domain name and the certificate and the 2 years of the site to keep it going and so on and so forth. And I ask for you to share in that cost with me to help me to pay for that. It would be a wonderful thing. And I hope that you will take part in that and get your blessing by blessing me and helping me to bless everyone involved. Thank you in advance. So let's get back to we're on page 141 in Fritz Springmeier's Be Wise as Serpents. It says, man made new orders. Christ's atoning work is totally overlooked by popular theology, that the New World Order, which is the Jew World Order, is trying to get people hooked on. One of these is called liberation theology. I'm going to get to this too. Excellent. So listen, this is one of the new man-made orders, liberation theology. Remember, I told you I was going to get to this, right? Naturally, they are going to give it a good label. Liberation theology has as its goal the creation of a man-made kingdom of God on earth, a millennium. That's exactly what the Jehovah Witnesses' goal is. Liberation theology has as its goal the creation of a man-made kingdom of God on earth. I just wanted to say that again, a millennium. This millennial kingdom is to be a one-world socialist, which he has Marxist in parentheses, government, such as Cuba and Russia's communist regime. The use of a promised millennium by the New World Order, Jew World Order, will be discussed in chapter 2.5. For now, we will touch on LT here simply to point it out as another religious scam, which is liberation theology. People are told if they, through violent revolution, create a Marxist socialist one world government, then they will have the classless utopian society Jesus supposedly tried to set up. People today are killing in the name of liberation theology, blindly fighting for their own enslavement. The plans of the Jew World Order over a century ago were to make us demand what they wanted to do to us, which is problem, reaction, solution, ladies and gentlemen. Under the religious trappings of liberation theology, quote unquote, many people are helping create what is planned already to be the worst slave state in mankind's history. Remember that this liberation theology is put through with the Federal Council of Churches and the other one, you know, but you understand that that's all funded by crypto Jew Rockefellers, et cetera, et cetera. The National Council of Churches and the Federal Council of Churches. Funny that Rockefeller would be involved in that and teaching to bring communism forward through liberation theology. And the churches, especially the Jewish version of Christianity and Catholicism, the Babylonian version, pagan version, they all give to this cause. They all believe in this cause. Isn't that shocking? It sure is to me. So, people today are killing in the name of liberation theology, blindly fighting for their own enslavement. And like I said, I want to read this again. The plans of the Jew World Order over a century ago were to make us demand what they wanted to do to us. Under the religious trappings of liberation theology, many people are helping to create what is planned already to be the worst slave state in mankind's history. Even if liberation theology through communism could satisfy man's material needs, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, quote unquote. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Luke 12:15. Why? Because man is an organic unity of body, spirit, and soul. To neglect the spiritual side is to ignore that part of man's nature. Further, their program will fail even on the material needs, for those administering communism are full of greed, lust for power, pride, and selfishness. Christ said, "Out of the heart of a man proceed evil thoughts. All evil comes from within and defiles the man." Mark 7:21 through 23. The Bible's age-old wisdom was that unless God builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Let me stop right there, too. Was it not amazing what we read in Maurice Pinet's book? How Julian, the lover of the Antichrist Jews, and tried to do everything for them, he was having the temple rebuilt, but it had to stop for several reasons. There were flames shooting out of the area, and they burned the men that were trying to build the temple. I had never heard this before, and I just think it's so remarkable. I think that is wonderful. Leave it to the Father. You see, they still haven't built a third temple because it's not the Father's will that the temple be built. And, like it says right here, unless God builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So they're trying to build the Temple of Solomon so that they can reinstitute sacrifice, which is Antichrist through and through. So they can equally be applied to a theology. Men are building religions. God builds men's faith in him. In any case, being religious or not being religious will not solve the basic problem of man. The action of a pig rolling in the mud does not make him a pig. He won't become a lamb if he stops rolling in the mud. Likewise, man and creation are disordered and sinful by nature. Whether man rolls in religion or doesn't roll doesn't change a man's nature either. And so knowledge doesn't reconcile man to God. God reconciles man to God. Well, I will say, I don't say religion, but the Father's word does change our nature. And it does help us to become a new man in Christ. Final wrap up here, he says. Gnostic religions create instant power bases for their administrators. Okay, this is what I was thinking about as we took the break, is I could liken this unto you is when they talk about the mysteries, this means now you've got to keep coming back to them to find out what this mystery is. It's like secrets. People hear the word secrets and their ears prick up and they want to know, what is this secret or what is this mystery? Please tell me. And the Gnostic religion gives little by little by little by little, but you got to keep coming back. You got to keep coming back. You got to keep coming back. Very interesting, isn't it? So, he said, Gnostic religions create instant power bases for their administrators. Whatsoever those administrators are called, priests, rabbis, swamis, gurus, etc., the Gnostic religions follow a pattern. The various leaders at the very top of these various authority pyramids are collaborating. You'll learn much more on this further in this book. The bottom line is that what appears as perhaps 50 or 100 religious scams, quote-unquote, are components of one single conspiracy for ultimate world power. Judaism comes from Babylon. For those who like the ancient mystery religions, you will want to thank the Jews. What do they call Freemasonry? The ancient mystery religions that were brought back by Semiramis, Nimrod's wife, Nimrod being claimed that he was the first Mason. But it was in Egypt before. Think about that for a while. What did he just say right there about the Jews? Judaism comes from Babylon. I keep telling you this. Judaism is not a religion from, is not a religion that spawned Christianity or anything like that. Judaism is, it's evil. It's wickedness. It's not monotheistic at all. It is pagan as well. Paganism was not a so-called religion. As we had seen, this fellow Julian, the Emperor Julian, how can I tell that? Because paganism was just paganism as far as holidays and this and that and feasts and all these things. But what Julian did was he copied the Christian mode, modus operandi on things, and he tried to make pagan, being pagan, like a religion. Then, of course, the Catholic Church adopts paganism and Christianity mixed together, which is an abomination to the ever-living God. But you see, that's why I tell you Judaism is not a religion. The Jews are tricking you. I'd say again and again, it's a worldwide criminal cartel in the guise of a religion in order to take advantage of what people that are in religions can do. In other words, if they are a religion, they can be tax-free. If they are a religion, they can pass through the airport without being molested. If they are a religion, they get certain seats in certain places and certain respects in certain places, etc., etc. You get the idea. See, being a high religious mucky muck can bring many, many, many benefits. Don't think the Jew didn't know that. They were doing that as Pharisees. You think they changed anything? So it says again, Judaism comes from Babylon. For those who like the ancient mystery religions, you will want to thank the Jews. Jews have been one of the best instruments for spreading Gnosticism in its various forms. Christ's teachings and mission was the opposite of Gnosticism. Christ was the predicted method that God had for revealing himself to those who were seeking him. Faith in Yahweh through Christ Jesus is not a power religion. Rather than trying to hide knowledge, Christ tried to spread his good message by calling on his disciples, listen, to go into the whole world teaching and to do good to all those who despitefully would abuse them. Wrong, Fritz. Go not into the way of the so-called Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see the trickery. You see, this is what it's all about. This is what I'm talking about. Whose gospel tells you to go into the whole world teaching? The Apostle Paul. Listen again to this deception. Christ tried to spread his good message by calling on his disciples to, quote, go into the whole world teaching. That's a lie. A bold-faced lie. You know it and I know it. Because why? Because we've been studying. We've been studying to show ourselves approved, even though the Apostle Paul gave that quotation. It's a beautiful quotation. And it's through that type of studying that we will expose who the Apostle Paul is and was, or was and is. I love it. I love to use the enemy's own sword to kill them, in the sense. You understand what I mean? I mean, you can't kill the Apostle Paul, but hopefully we can kill his gospel. In the mighty name of Yahweh, may it be so. See, there it is, folks. Christ tried to spread his good message by calling on his disciples to go into the world teaching and to do good to all, even those who despitefully would abuse them. Hello, that is a pure lie right there. You just saw that. You just heard that live. And that ends that chapter. He just gives a whole bunch of notes here. I'm glad that we were able to see that. Chapter 1.4, A Rainbow of Dragons. You will learn this chapter, some of the stock tools of the conspiracy, the history of the Church, Universal and Triumphant, John Birch Society, and the Theosophical Society, the connections between CUT, which is Church, Universal and Triumphant, the JBs, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, and TS with Freemasonry. Okay. No wise person would knowingly choose to fight their opponent blind and deaf. Yet that seems to be the choice which many nominal Christians are choosing. They would like to characterize this book as doomsday stuff and then dismiss and ignore this material. They want to eat, drink, and be happy. That's what the Apostle Paul told them to do. This book has nothing to do with a doomsday. If Christians suffer for the truth, that can only be a wonderful testimony of the love of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the real life. He changes, but that's okay, I suppose. Christians are not seeking martyrdom, but the chance to stand for the truth revealed in Christ is a chance to honor their Creator for His love. This book has to do with recording what people involved with the power have planned and why they carry out their plans. Further, it will give you things you can do to counter the power. While you may perhaps shudder at the thought of World War III, you should be aware that many people have been deceived to look forward to an Armageddon. Not only are these people planning and looking forward to it, but they have been blaming it, its assumed arrival on Christians for several years. Number one, various New Age leaders preach the power of collective consciousness, which belief is a type of belief in magic. Some of these New Agers speak and write that Christianity's belief in Armageddon is the reason it will occur. The reason it'll occur is because the Father said it would. Anyway, the Christians are willing for it to happen, it says. If people think that by putting their heads in the sand they can escape the future, or even the present difficulties, they may be in for a rude surprise. So how is the adversary of freedom building a one-world religion? Several items are stock tools. A. What they call blinds. These are deliberate deceptions placed within their own writings to confuse the uninitiated. Helena Pavlova Blavatsky, who is a Jewess, gives a good description, and she loves Lucifer, and is a big promoter of Lucifer, gives a good description of the use of these. So do Masonic writers like Albert Pike. H.P.B. writing describes the use of blinds in the secret doctrine. B. They use deflection to redirect the power of truth, which is opposed to them. Healthy foods, benevolence, ecology, love, acceptance, etc. are all part of the Creator's Christian walk. These truths and others are deflected from their original purpose of glorifying the Creator to glorifying their own programs. Rather than publicly opposing Christianity, they rename their own movements Christian and then proceed to do very little for Christ, like the Apostle Paul, and everything for Lucifer, like the Apostle Paul. They are even deflecting the worship of Jesus Christ onto the worship of a demon named Jesus. Kurt Billings, an ex-New Age leader, now a sincere Christian, has been giving his testimony around the United States. He was a New Ager who infiltrated churches and, as a church leader, channeled a demon named Jesus. C. They use Hegelian dialectics. This dialectic process doesn't happen on its own, so it often has to be forced into happening. The idea is that each idea, ism, called a thesis, like, say, capitalism, naturally by definition has an opposite, an antithesis. In capitalism, the antithesis is communism. The conflict between the two produces a synthesis. By controlling both ends of the conflict, one controls the end product, the synthesis. More than not, the one world power can be seen working behind both sides of many conflicts. Indeed, the secret societies have been historically shown to be behind all revolutions and wars in modern Europe since the American Revolution. And of course, before that. Of course, before that. The French Revolution being one, etc., etc., and many, many revolutions. In religious conflict, both sides are often being manipulated. Some of the various groups openly admit their strategy is designed to create a synthesis. You will find Hegelian dialectics has been introduced into the U.S. educational system by the Skull and Bones Order, considered an Illuminati group. It was adopted in Russia by the Slavophiles in the 19th century. Communism, Nazism, Fabianism, and most New Age groups, liberation theology, and other parts of the power use Hegelian dialectics. Hegel in turn based this system on the ancient Greek atomists, especially Democritus. Hello, Democritus. This is one of the biggest examples of an Hegelian dialectic, democracy. You see, folks, there's so much to know. You understand why it's important to want to know history and understand it? If you didn't know about the writings of Plato or Democritus or any of these other people, how would you know that the Apostle Paul isn't quoting these people and talking about the mysteries and everything else, and that's where he got it from? D. The New World Order's one religion, one world religion, is organized on the spin principle. What is the spin principle? This concept is to be the topic of this section. Spin equals segmented, polycentric, integrated networks. Again, spin. Segmented, polycentric, integrated networks. You might want to write that down. Segmented, polycentric, integrated networks. If one were to diagram a spin organizational chart, it would not be a conventional box-type figuration such as an army company organization chart. Rather, it would resemble a fishnet with interlocking nodes, with groups linked to many other groups and cluster around nodes. There is no center to the network. That's very interesting, isn't it? It's like the brain's electrical connections with an overlap of functions so that good cells can take over from damaged sections. A network, one of their buzzwords, is many times more greater than the sum of its parts. This is important, ladies and gentlemen. The New Age author Marilyn Ferguson does an excellent job in describing how the conspiracy's spin network functions. Quote, "This is a source of power never before tapped in history. Multiple self-sufficient social movements linked for a whole array of goals whose accomplishment would transform every aspect of contemporary life." Sounds like the social networks, Because spins are so qualitatively different in organization and impact from bureaucracies, most people don't see them or think they are conspiracies. Often networks take similar action without conferring with each other simply because they share so many assumptions. It might also be said that the shared assumptions are the collusion. See, what he was saying before, if somebody finds out that say like the John Birch Society is with the Jews and that thing goes under, there's so many people in the network that they just take over for that. And then they just come back as another named, another organization of the same kind with a new name. See, the net heals itself. Boy, are we learning a lot of interesting things. The Aquarian conspiracy is, in effect, a spin of spins, a network of many networks aimed at social transformation. And that would be why we have all these Twitters and everything else, these social. Remember that Albert Pike talked about a social cataclysm, that they would bring out the nihilists and the atheists and so on and so forth. So, the Aquarian conspiracy is indeed loose, segmented, evolutionary, devolutionary, the word I made up there, redundant. It is, its center is everywhere. Although many social movements and mutual help groups are represented in its alliances, its life does not hinge on any of them. That's Marilyn Ferguson, the Aquarian conspiracy, Los Angeles, California, blah, blah, blah. Page 217, this is from 1980. Organizationally, the spin principle has worked wonders for the Juluminati, who are the illumined ones who are directed by an angel of light, variously called Venus, Lucifer, Satan, or Sanat, a scrambling of Satan. Ladies and gentlemen, I know I'm harping on this, but who did Paul meet on the road to Damascus? If the story is even real, I submit to you, of course it wasn't Jesus Christ. That would be disobeying the Father if he'd done that. And Jesus Christ doesn't disobey the Father. Period. See, it's the light bringer. That's who he met. If he didn't just concoct this story. See, listen again. The spin principle has worked wonders for the Juluminati, who are the illumined ones who are directed by an angel of light. Hello. Variously called Venus, you're my flower of joy, desire. Remember that? Lucifer, Satan, or Sanat, a scrambling of Satan. Different groups have their own preferred name for this master. Almost without fail, their literature and art provide enough in each case to positively identify this being of light as Lucifer, as the ascended master of every illuminated group. Sources that have been near the top of the hierarchies of these various groups reveal that the alliances, quote-unquote, are not as loose as the public pictures them. The top leaders are actually in contact and collusion together. Further, the New Age movement is producing all kinds of organizational charts, yellow pages, coordinating councils between groups such as the Unity in Diversity Council, etc. The movement is not as leaderless as the New Age movement likes to pretend. Further, while their spin network is powerful, it is much more man-made and artificial than people can imagine. Groups that supposedly just materialize out of nothing are actually funded and promoted from the start by an outside source. Let me stop right there. What do I see in that statement immediately? I'll read the statement again, and you think of people that have just arrived in the truth movement. Listen, groups or truthers that supposedly just materialize out of nothing are actually funded and promoted from the start by an outside source. You know, these people like Adam Green just comes out of the woodwork. He's famous, but he's a Jew. And he also, we saw how many, that he worked for the CIA and all these different things, right? So these people just come out of nowhere. So what he's saying here again, I want to read it for the third time. Groups that supposedly just materialize out of nothing are actually funded and promoted from the start by an outside source. While the New Agers pride themselves on their spin strategy, the followers of Christ have been configured the same way for centuries. It must be admitted that several interlocking secret cults, the Freemasons, the CIA, which is called the Company, and MI6, which is known as the Firm, control much of the world. Through allied groups such as the B'nai B'rith Order, the Skull and Bones Order, the KGB, the Triads, the Mafia, the Order of Jesuits, also known as the Company, and the Mossad. Their control extends even further. Now, I want to tell you something that's very interesting that I see right here. The Mossad is M-O-S-S-A-D. But here he spells it the M-O-U-S-S-A-D. And what do I see in that? There's two things I see in that. Do you see anything in the Mossad? Like the rats, the Mossad, M-O-U-S-S-A-D. M-I-C-K-E-Y, M-O-U-S-S-A-D, Mickey Mossad. Mickey Mossad. But also, the second thing I see in it is, again, spelling the word a different way so that you're looking for the M-O-S-S-A-D. You're not looking for the M-O-U-S-S-A-D. Hiding things in plain sight, folks. So, their control extends even further. Finally, there are a plethora of religious groups interwoven into the whole spin network. Some like the Universal Aquarian Church, the Metaphysical Church in America, the Light of Christ Community Church, the Institutes for the Enhancement of Life, Energy, and Creativity in New York, Children of God's Ashram, and the Church Universal and Triumphant are openly New Age religious bodies. Unity School of Christianity in Unity Village, Missouri, is a training center for the New Age where Luciferian initiations have been conducted for years. Lucius Trust functions as part of the brain of the New Age movement, and the Findhorn Foundation in Scotland is comparable to the Vatican City of the New Age movement. Today, the Juilluminati are also known by the esoteric inside name of Royal Ipsimus. Ipsimus is Latin for master of the household, the Royal Ipsimus. It is not impossible to draw diagrams showing the seed producing this rotting fruit, producing seed, producing fruit, producing a host of seed, etc. The spin diagrams in this book are an attempt to begin to show the development of their spin of spins. That's about all we can take care of for today, folks. Praise the Father, we're learning all kinds of things, and you can see the information crisscrossing itself here, confirming and reconfirming. Ladies and gentlemen, I do think of you often, and I do hope that you are learning much and that you will become savvy so that you will not be tricked. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.